Blog Talk Radio. Welcome back to the Talk With Ty Show, and that was All About You from Danny Boy, man. He's on the line right now with us. What's going on, Danny?
Yes, sir, bro. How you doing today?
Man, I'm good, man. What's going on, bro? How you doing?
I'm good, man. I was listening to your other show, man, talking to the, you know, the radio guy, man, and got a little tied up with that. I'm blessed, though, brother. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, no problem, man. So I got put on hold for another show, huh?
For your show, though. I was listening to y'all put out some knowledge. I was like, oh, wait a minute, let me call in. No doubt, bro.
That's what's going on, man. So, man, it's Danny Boy, man. I mean, Tupac, classic. And then, you know, you got the new upcoming album coming out, It's About Time. And I think that's a perfect title for the long-awaited project that you've been waiting for to be released.
Oh, man.
After having all the success that you've had with Death Row. So what I want to do is take it, people all the way back. And I'm not
Let's
saying
do that.
Back to Death Row. I'm talking about taking it all the way back to when Danny Boy first decided to sing and pick up the mic. What
well,
age
you know, my...
and... Go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Let me let you finish, bro.
Okay. At what age and what time period of life did you know that this is what I was going to do? And how did you go from that to transcending to being... I mean, working with Tupac, you know, the greatest of all time.
Man, I think I was about 7 years old. It took for my grandmother and my mother to go to a gospel concert, and a little girl by the name of Dalion Richardson, she was there singing that night. And, you know, my grandmother and them, they came back, and all you could hear them talking about in the front room was how good this little girl sang. Oh, Lord, she just tore the church up, and this and that. And I knew that I had came from a singing family, but I never really had the courage enough to stand up in front of the church and sing. So, you know, I kind of started getting my, I learned Dalion's song, which was a song by the title of If Anybody Asks You Who I Am, Tell Them I'm a Child of God. Man, I got up that Sunday, and I sang probably about two Sundays later, man. And, you know, ever since then, I knew when I seen the reaction, you know, for my family, I was like, you know what? I want to sing like my auntie Dolores. And it just went on and on, and I got with an independent company, and that's when I signed to Death Row Records. I think that was, I went out to see them at about the age of 14. I was looking at other record companies, Motown, MCA, I think it was Capitol Records, Warner Brothers, all those record companies. And then the dude that I went out with, he was already dealing with Interscope, and when Suge seen my project, you know, he was like, man, I want to sign him. What are we looking for?
Okay. So basically, how did Suge actually find me? Was you out at a club? Did somebody take some music to him? How did he actually discover me?
Man, we were actually in Interscope Records meeting about another group by the name of Fooski. They were in there meeting about their record deal. And Suge seen us all out in the hallway. And he was talking to the guy by the name of Shorty who had taken us out to Cali. You know, so what y'all about to do? Well, we taking Danny Boy over, you know, to, I think it was that day I was meeting with a company called Black Tie Records, which was the Whispers label. And he was like, well, you know, bust something, let me hear you. He thought I rapped. And I sang the song. It was a young lady in Chicago that got killed in a drive-by at a school. And I wrote a song called Drive By about a man, and I'm talking about before I could end the song, he ran out the room and got Jimmy Iovine, and they came back in. He was like, look, man, Shorty, I want him. What y'all looking for? You know, and Shorty was like, you know, we looking for this. And Shorty, Shorty could finish, Suge was like, look, I'll give you $350,000 right now for him. Let's go. And, you know, I think from that day on is when everything stopped popping with Death Row.
So let me ask you a funny question real quick. When Suge first walked up to you, what was your first impression of Suge?
This a big nigga. What did they make this nigga? Excuse my word, I'm sorry, but that's the first thing that I thought. I was like, man, where they make this big old dude at, you know? And when he first walked up, you know, I didn't know too much about him because, like I said, I'm from Chicago, and, you know, Dr. Dre's Snoop Dogg album had just really started taking off. So, you know, I kind of heard a couple of things, but he was probably one of the bigger dudes that I had ran into. That far in my life, I think he's probably the biggest dude I knew at that time.
Well, what was the experience like, you know, working at Death Row and then actually working with Pac? Was Pac actually the first artist on Death Row that you worked with, or did you work with some other artists that led you up into working with Pac?
You know, I was signed over at Death Row first, man, and Pac was over at Interscope. I met him one time at in Interscope when they were working on the Above the Rim soundtrack. Excuse me. I had met him then, and you know, I had the first producer, and I should say artist producer I worked with over on Death Row, even though he wasn't a Death Row artist, but he was a part of the crew, was DJ Quick. And you know, working with DJ Quick, man, I just learned so much instantly, immediately, man. When I met him, Suge was like, I want you to meet Quick later on, and everybody knew who Quick was, you know, and I was like, okay, cool. And I got with him later on that day. Suge had me sing something for him, and Quick was like, man, come by tomorrow. I think it was that day or the next day I got by, went back and chilled with him, man, and that's when we came up with Come When I Call. And they were working on that Murder Was a Case soundtrack at this time. You know, some months had went by, they working on the soundtrack, and they were actually going to close the record out, and Quick was like, man, I got to let Suge hear this. We got to get this on. So I think he was definitely one of the people that was instrumental into, you know, getting me out on a record, you know, for the first time.
What did you learn as an artist working with DJ Quick that you didn't know prior to that?
Man, you know, DJ Quick is so musical. He wasn't just, you would think he's just a rapper, or he's one that did stuff with, you know, the, all these other rappers, or he couldn't go beyond just, his music was very much open, man. It wasn't just like one genre. You know, you can come in there and Quick got like a jazzy type song with the best musicians, or you come in there the next day, you know, he want to do a gospel song and could play on it. You know, if he couldn't play the flute, he'll pick it up and still blow in it to make it happen. You know,
right.
if he couldn't, you know, and I love, my favorite part about him is to see him play percussions. You know, he would get in there and play his own bell, his own cowbell, his own triangle. And so he would get in there and do so much. He was so involved musically. And on the technical side, you can watch him get up on that board, and he'd be talking with those engineers, and he'd make them lost on stuff that they went to school for, and he probably never been to school on it, but he knew it.
You know what? That's wild, because that's like the first time I've ever heard somebody actually explain something like that about DJ Quick. I always knew he produced. You know, I knew that back when he first came out, when Quick was, you know, Quick is the name. I already knew that, but I didn't know how in-depth he was with as far as the production side of it, because everybody calls themselves a producer if they write a beat. You know what I mean? They put a beat together.
No, man, yes, a lot of beat makers, man. That
yeah.
dude was a genius, man. And not only that, man, the dude could, you can come in there and say, man, my head and my toe hurt. He's going to go get a herb out of his cabinet at the house that's going to have you together within 10 minutes. I mean, it's the kind of dude this dude was. I mean, he studied. He reminded me a lot of Pac, but on a different level, because Pac was so smart. Pac wasn't just a rapper or an actor or philanthropist. He just, Pac was all the way around. They read, man. They knew stuff about other stuff outside of music.
What was people, in the time period that you spent with Death Row, you spent with, you know, the whole the company, Suge and Tupac, what was the biggest misconception that you think people had of the entire organization?
I mean, you know, it's a lot of things that, I mean, you know, as the media put out a lot of bad things, you know, a lot of bad things that you know, not that I'm not going to even begin to defend, because, you know, you leave it, for me to say it, all of these labels do their shit, all of them. You know, you can go to the club with, and you think this is the nicest label in the world, and that label there, they'll jump on you. Or these people will jump on you. You know, or you get into it with the wrong. I mean, it's the same stuff that's been going on for years and years, especially in this hip hop thing. But we were never, Death Row was never really given given respect for the things that Suge really did do for families. He destroyed a lot of families in the end, but he also, in the beginning, he helped a lot of families, man. I mean, this was a dude on Mother's Day that fed 1,000 single mothers in California and brought them up to Beverly Hills Hotel and sent limos out for them and had people like myself and Pac and Jodeci and the Isleys perform for them every year. But the news didn't put that out there like that. You know, and those, and I'm saying, I'm speaking in the time where Suge was really helping. You didn't hear it, but you heard a lot of sad things and a lot of bad things about the company going towards the demise of the company.
Yeah, because see, that's stuff that they don't talk about. Nobody knew that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and that's how people are. They don't say the good. And that, like I said, I'm not defending them because, you know, Suge did me wrong in the beginning. You know, I thank him, and I appreciate the opportunity that he gave me. But he messed over me just like the rest of these labels is messing over the rest of these artists, most of these black labels, which is sad. You know, these are labels that you know, we look up to and that give us an opportunity to get out of the hood. But, you know, five years down the line, being on a Bad Boy label or being on a Death Row label or one of those labels, the artists, you know, they don't deal with that label no more. It's not like Motown where when Tammy Terrell and Marvin Gaye and all those people were signed to Motown that they were down and they were happy about being where they were. It's like, you know, when Suge and Puffy and them get the bag from these artists, they run with the bag and forget about the artists.
And, you know, the question I like to ask artists is, why do you think that happened? I mean, you got to look at, you have black ownership at a record label who has knowledge of, you know, the bad things that happen at major labels. You would think having a African-American male who runs a label who has a lot of financial backing and a lot of resources and support, that when they sign an artist, they will, almost the flip side would happen, not necessarily them going through a bad situation. So why do you think that kind of happens in versus it happening on the end of where something good comes out of it?
I mean, you know, in the end, to me, it all ends up in being at greed that these companies have. You're looking at some guys that they probably ain't never had nothing, so they're living a life of having 20 million to 30 million to 40 million and 100 million. And, you know, I commend Puffy and I commend Suge for the work that they've done as far as building an artist, because it's a lot of work in being the CEO, but it's also a hell of a lot of work into being an artist. My dude, I've been on a lot of records. I've been on at least, I'm not saying in total, but the records that I've been on that sold, I've been on at least 20 to 30 million records. And it's times that I had to go work a job being a mortician. I was a mortician after being on Death Row. I was a waiter after being on that company. I was a janitor. I was a painter. I was a construction dude. There was a lot of things I had to do after the demise of that company. So a lot of these guys, like I said, they get the bag and run. They want to live, you know, all that stuff that you've seen Suge talking about on the videos. You don't want the artist to be all into the CEO to be all in the videos. You know, once they get that camera on a man, it's something that a camera do to a black person, to me. Not all of us, but some of us get that camera and that fame on us, and we forget where we come from. We forget what it took to help us get there. And the main thing is what's sickening is that these black labels forget that the artist is a key to making this thing happen.
Right. It's almost like a marriage. You can't have one without the other.
No, and I need a label. You know, I'm on my own label right now, which is Artist First. But, you know, like you said, it's like a marriage. It got to be something healthy, man. If I'm able to get with a company that's going to distribute my records and be behind me like an artist, man, I'm giving my all. I can't keep going in the studio recording records. And, man, out of all of the records that I'm telling you about, I don't even have a plaque.
Oof.
I don't have a plaque on my wall.
So what happened with all the royalties? I mean, Pac did $9-10 million of All Eyes on Me, and not including all the other stuff that you've done. What happened to the royalties and the publishing? And that's a lot of money.
Man, it's plenty of money, man. Back in the day, I'm gonna tell you, it was about I'm gonna say about 7 years ago. I bought up a suit against everybody because I wrote. Song that I sang on the Pac album, I wrote the hooks myself. I'm the person that I inspired those hooks. Ain't Mad At You was my hook. If Pac was here, he'll tell you. You know, and then I seen that I wasn't getting paid. When I was writing these songs and doing this kind of music, I was a kid, not understanding about publishing, not understanding about writing rights and all of those things. when I got older, I was like, look, man, I want to be paid just like everybody else. It's sickening, again, to walk into an office, somebody that got a plaque from that record company and had plaques for All Eyes on Me, and I'm like, what the hell have you done on this record? And I don't even have a plaque. So, you know, it moved on and on. I pulled up this suit against, I was suing Interscope. I was suing Death Row. I was suing Afeni Shakur. And it came to a point where me and Afeni had to come to an agreement. I signed a contract with Afeni Shakur. And, you know, on this contract, our agreement was, okay, I got this certain percentage on these songs. In 30 days, they're going to deliver me a check. In 30 days, they're going to pay me royalties that I've been missing. And I'm sitting back counting with my people. I'm at like $1.5 million at this time. And I'm still waiting a day for this lady to send me a check. So the rich people usually end up with the bag. You know, the people that can afford to get lawyers and, you know, they'll do you anyway. I mean, she know I sang on those songs. It's nothing hard to go through. It's not like she got to go get agreements. I mean, you know I sang on it. If you don't see a check with my name on it, obviously I'm old.
Yeah. I mean, and a lot of artists went through that time period with Death Row at that time. And I mean, I hope you do get what's owed to you. Definitely.
Oh man, let me tell you something. What I learned is I used to be so pissed off about it and mad about it, man. But I do understand and overstand what God got for me. It's for me. They didn't give me my gift. God has given me this gift. And let me tell you, man, it's one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. I feel that God has blessed me with a ministry, and this ministry is music. And anybody that damaged this music thing that he's given me, gotta pay for that. It's like money in the bank for me. I'm just sitting up letting them save it. 100 years, she's going to have to write me a check because it's due to me. And I'm praying she don't sleep until I get my part.
Well, let's let the listeners hear some new music from Danny Boy. I already played All About You. Going to play that again. Let's go on to another joint coming up off the new album. It's About Time. When we come back from the song, we want to talk a little more about actually working with Pac, and we want to go into what Danny Boy's doing in 2010.
Yes, sir. Let's do it.
Take some calls and everything. So anybody want to call up, ask Danny Boy something, call into the show, 347-326-9697. Here's So In Love.
Hello.
Danny Boy right here on the Talk With Todd Show.
Even Mary
welcome back to the Talk the Tribe show. And that was So In Love, man. You know, we got Danny Boy on the line. And, brother, actually, you know what's different? My thoughts about singing right now is you actually can sing. Like, the people who I actually do on my show, they actually have talent. That's a lot of artists.
Thank you, bro.
Like, they don't have no talent. They don't have no style, no swag.
Boy, that'll keep you crying, too. It'll keep you crying, man.
But I haven't heard anything about these songs that I've listened to. I listened to them before the show, and I'm like,
okay,
hot. I mean, like, and then I pulled you up on YouTube, and you were singing right in front of the webcam, doing your thing, you know, freestyle. I'm gonna let you freestyle for the ladies here in a little bit.
Okay.
You know, I know you don't mind. You know.
No, sir, not at all.
But going back into the second half of this interview here. Your experience, I know everybody's probably asked you this, but I got to ask you because I'm a fan of you and I'm also a fan of Death Row back in that. I grew up in that whole time era and Pac. What was it like working with Pac, man? And what was the difference in working with an artist like Pac then and working with an artist now?
Well, you know, Pac worked. His work ethic was incredible, man. You know, them songs that everybody getting an opportunity to hear, you know, I heard so long, man, Pac can't be dead. He still got music coming out. And this and that and this and that, I had to fight that so long listening to people say that. But to get in a studio and to see Pac at work behind that microphone, man, was incredible because he lived what he talked about. He breathed and he really felt adamant, even if he thought it was wrong. You know, I can remember one time Pac took a photo, and it had something, I don't know if it was a photo or it had something to do with Jesus. And if I'm not mistaken, it could have been on a cross or something. It was some kind of photo that they were trying to do, and it had something to do with the cross and Jesus and Pac and doing something. Man, I went off. I was like, there's no way in the hell we finna do that. You know, because I was very outspoken. Pac, I was adopted by Suge, so things that I said, to me, it mattered at that time. Because I go talk to Suge, and Suge be like, okay, well, all right, you right. And then when they said that, man, but it was so many things that I learned from Pac. His work habits, man, was incredible.
If you have the show playing in the background, kind of turn it down.
Yeah, I did. I'm sorry. My bad. I just went back in the room.
Oh, you're good. So the work ethic from Pac, everybody knows that. Pac, matter of fact, it was an interview that Pac said, I record 3 songs a day. And so when people don't realize when he had over 250 songs when he passed, I keep trying to explain to people, if you add all those songs up, he still got material out there that hasn't even been
released. Man, yes, sir. Sir, yes, sir, man. Believe it.
It. You know, working with an artist like Pac, like I said, what is the difference between working with him and like these new artists that you work with today? What do you see as more the difference and the challenging part working with artists today?
The work not as hard. You know, and I'm going to say compared to the music, they not recording like Pac to me.
What do you
like,
mean
you know, they ain't talking about nothing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, no disrespect to nobody, but, you know, and the people buying it, if that's what they like, okay, good. But they not talking about it. You can find very few rappers that's talking about something.
Yeah.
You can find very few singers that could even sing.
That's
the difference.
True.
I mean, it was talent then. Now you just got, you know, it's a popularity contest. You blow up, you know how hard it is. It's hard as hell for me to get on and for me to sing and everybody to hear me sing and this and that, and I got to pump it up on Facebook, and then you got a clown that can get on Facebook that can make up a song about toilet tissue if you want to and get 1 million clicks, and the next thing you know, he's sitting on the couch on BET 106 in Park. Wow. And everybody's hollering his name, and this dude is talking about tissue. So that's the difference in between. The music is different. The substance is different.
Yeah. And
you know,
and
no, nothing against it, but Ole do it. Whatever. What the hell is that? But that's what people like.
So how are you kind of countering that to be able to still get your music heard? Because you got them. If anybody knows the history, knows who you are, I mean, that is a given. You got them.
Man, you know what I'm doing with I'm just gonna continue to sing, man. Over the years, man, I just been singing, and even when I feel people ain't listening, I still sing, and I just realized that God has gifted me and I got to work on my gift. And it's saying in the Bible, man, that your gift will make room for you, Doc. And I just got to keep pushing, man, regardless if I get an opportunity to sing in front of 10,000 people again, 20,000, 20 million, or whatever it is. As long as I'm able to keep singing and share my gift, I think that's what's going to, I want to be a part of the long-lasting crew, man. I want people to know me 30 years from now. So I'm just going to work hard until I get it.
All right, that, man. Well, let's talk about the new project, man. Let's talk about This About Time. Talk to us a little bit about that, why you chose that particular title. I know I can pretty much guess why you chose it, but I want you to let the listeners know why you chose that title and what can the listeners expect from this new album. From this new album.
You know, first off, let me say I'm not signed to Death Row any longer. I'm on my own label, which is Artists First. There's a company by the name of Wide Awake that has purchased the Death Row catalog and all of these songs that everybody get an opportunity to hear from this album. It's About Time is material that I recorded back in the day, you know, and when we were working on those Pac records and Snoop records and all those records, this is just material from that time. Nothing has been remixed or remastered or anything. So just giving everybody an opportunity to have an insight on you know, hip-hop was going on, the gangster rap was going on at Death Row, but what was happening in the A Room, Danny Boy. So everybody get a look on what I was doing at that time on this It's About Time record. Not only that, you'll hear songs on there from that I had an opportunity to work with legends such as Devontae Swing, DJ Quick, JoJo of Casey, and JoJo as far as Jodeci. And then you also hear Mr. Roger Troutman, the late Roger Troutman. So it's a lot of history in this music, and, you know, I don't know how much it's going to sell. I don't even think that's my concern. I'm just really happy that the company Wide Awake has gotten this material, and the fans that's been asking me over the years about this material will have an opportunity to hear it.
So when can we expect the release date on that?
That release date was the 20th of last month.
Oh, okay, so
yeah, it came out the 20th of last month, and it's still it's on iTunes or on Amazon.com. I'm asking everybody if they'll go out. It's called It's About Time. If y'all will, I gotta feed my kids. I got four of them, and y'all know Happy Meals cost a lot. So if y'all,
right.
But please support your boy. This is the one opportunity Danny Boy can get from Death Row a check. This is one of the opportunities. Go on to iTunes and purchase, not Free Tunes.
Well, hold on, man, for a second, man. Before we take this call, we got a caller that want to ask you a question. Give out your Facebook and your Twitter if you have one, so people can go and holler at you on Facebook, Twitter, your MySpace, your iTunes, not FreeTunes.
Again, y'all, go get that record. Go download them one at a time. If you ain't got $10, spend 99 cents on your boy at a time. That's on iTunes. That's Danny Boy. It's About Time. Also, can check me out. I'm always on Facebook every day. Facebook is Danny Stewart, DannyStewart. My Twitter is The Real Danny Boy, TheReal Danny Boy. Now, get at me. I'm always on Facebook. Let's holla, holla, holla at your boy. And go to my YouTube. My YouTube channel is Danny Boy Unplugged.
That's what's up. Let's get to this caller, man. Area code 317-339. You're on live on the Talk with Taj show. What's your question for Danny Boy?
Yeah, how's it going, Taj? How's it going, Mr. Danny?
What's going on, bro? How you doing, man?
Doing pretty good. My name's Brent, and I'm actually a artist here out of the city of Indianapolis. And, you know, I've done a lot of talent searches here. You know, I went to American Idol, you know, I've been blessed with the gift of God, you know, vocally, to minister to others through my music. However, you know, I truly believe in, you know, expanding my territory. I just don't really focus on one area. You know, I try to work with multiple artists such as rappers, and, you know, I try to do hooks. You know, I play the keys. You know, I produce. You know, I make my own music. You know, you always hear, you know, in Indianapolis, hey, leave the city, go to Atlanta, you know, ATL, go to New York. You know, that's where you can make it big. But I believe that if you're truly talented, that you should be able to make a mark in your own city. What are some ways or what type of advice could you give for R&B artists, if I can say, here in this city as far as promoting ourselves and getting the right support? Because it seems like it's kind of hard to get support.
Well, you know what I learned, brother, is what I learned is man, just being consistent. You know, I sing anywhere. There's no event too small. There's no event too big for me to sing. As you said, this is our ministry. And when I say that, like you said, it don't just stick us into singing with rap or gospel, hip hop or nothing like that. Marvin Gaye wasn't a minister, but his song "What's Going On" is still ministered to the people. So you just got to get out and sing everywhere, man. And it ain't just to me. I just took my mind off of, is it gonna happen in Chicago, or is it gonna happen in the ATL, or is it gonna happen right here, man? With two
you know,
things.
How many people get an album? You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
And I guess, you know, like earlier when I was listening, you were saying that, you know, a lot of these big labels, you know, they hurt in their own. And, you know, I can recall back in 2006 at, you know, Indiana Black Expo, you know, I actually ran into Trey Songz. And, you know, I had my demo and, you know, I tried, you know, I had talked to him and he basically had my demo back and was like, man, good luck. You know, you will make it one day. Didn't even take the initiative to, you know, take it. You know, you didn't have to listen to it, but you could at least took it, show some type of support. But instead, you just gave me a slap in the face.
Right. Well, you know, a lot of artists have a problem with that, man. And I just praise God for the artist that I am, man. That's, I want to see. I know it's kind of hard to say it because you got everybody that thinks they rap singers these days. But I definitely want to see everybody make it in what they really believe in. You know, it's not a singer that I'm scared to take your CD because you sing and I'm scared you can sing better than me. Or this. That's not what the gift is about, man. I take what I've learned, and I'm willing to try to pass it on to somebody else, man, because if I don't make it, I'll make it through you if it helped you get there. You don't make it,
wow,
help
right
somebody else get there. I think that's what's important.
All right, man. Well, Brent, is there any other questions that you got before we get back to the interview?
No, that, you know, that's it. I listen to your music. Admire you a lot, man, and good luck. Good luck.
Bless you, brother, man. Hit me up on Facebook, man, and keep pushing.
All right.
All right, push me.
Did you call me?
No doubt.
And welcome back, man. Yeah, I mean, a lot of artists are fighting with that right now, and that's been going on since the beginning of time.
No doubt.
One thing I think artists have to understand is, too, these labels get so much material mailed to them, sent to them, sometimes it becomes fatiguing. You almost lose their ear because you get so much material every day. You know what I mean?
A lot of these, a lot of them departments have shut down in them companies too. Ain't nobody there really to listen to them. So the game has really changed up a lot. It's not, you're not going to find 10 A&Rs at a company 2 months no more.
No, actually, what's happening now and what seems to be happening now is that the big labels are starting to get smaller, smaller, and smaller, and they're merging. So it's only a few places artists can go and win.
Yep, no doubt.
But, you know, we hope, man, actually, you know, we're going to keep pushing away for Danny Boy to get this record out here and get it sold and get them kids Happy Meals. I understand.
Yeah.
I got two of them myself. but if you want anybody, I want you to know, for those who may or may not understand everything that, you know, that you went through as an artist back then versus what you're doing now, if you can give anybody three things that will help them succeed and get through and hopefully not go through what you went through, what would that be?
Read. And when I say read, study your craft. You know, I was a singer that went in the studio, and all that mattered was just to get in the studio and sing this song, and I want to be on that, and I want to be on that. But if you look at a painter, he studies his brushes so that he can know how to get the right stroke. He's not just taking a bunch of brushes and getting a picture. He study it before he do it. And that's the biggest thing. You have to make sure that anything you involve with, especially your gift, you have to be a good steward over what you have, man, and study. Read. Study. And push. My push mean, I learned it from my pastor, Gregory L. Pollard, man. Pray until something happens. Push. Pray until something happens.
That's what's up, man. Danny Boy right here on the Talk with Todd show. Keeping it real, going all the way in. These are the interviews that I love, man. When artists get on here or any guest comes on and they just really just open up And because that's what people want to know. And sometimes people are left out of the dark on information. When people
right.
come on there and let that go, man. I mean, that's these are the type of interviews that I love. They always go
right on, brother.
So outside of the album, what else do you have going on? Let's talk about tour dates, shows, what have you.
I'm on the road with a guy by the name of Norman Connors, which is a jazz great. I'm almost out every weekend. I'm doing things, and I'm accepting calls from promoters. Next month is Pac's birthday, June 16th. So we'll be doing a couple celebrations domestically as well as international, celebrating the life of Tupac.
Right.
And as well, they can go on my Facebook and kind of find out. I'm getting different things added on, and I'm open, man. I'm trying to get into this movie and film and television. I'm auditioning, and I can go onto my YouTube to hear my song, my single from my label, Artists First. And that single is Words Can't Explain. That's my single that's coming out. So, you know, I'm just getting busy, man. I got my book bag on. I'm ready to learn some more, as well as just ready to get out into the streets and work myself as an artist, so I can introduce myself to people that don't know me and reintroduce myself to people that miss me.
I heard that. Well, let's get to some more of Danny Boy. All About You. Don't go nowhere. Y'all stay right here. It's the Talk With Todd show. TalkWithTodd.com. All right, video submissions are now available. Banner ads is just now available. All right, so go ahead and hit me up at TodgeLaunchMoney@gmail.com. Also, join the mailing list on TalkWithTodd.com to get the monthly newsletter. And go on iTunes, not FreeTunes, and get that.
Yes.
All right. And I'm going to start using that phrase. You gave me a phrase. I'm about to start using free tone.
Free tone. Either, boy. You better believe.
Well, check it out. I mean, here's Danny Boy All About You on the Talk With Todd show. We'll be right back.
Yo.
Yeah, they say I need you.
To the Talking Time show, we got you know, you singing. I can tell you've been singing the whole time. You know, we've been listening to the song, so I'm gonna let you go ahead and do freestyle right now. You go ahead and do it. I'm gonna give you take out 30 seconds, man. Let's get a lady something to Danny Boy. This is Danny Boy live freestyle right here on the Talking Time show.
For we know. We may never meet again, but before you go, make this moment, can you make it sweet again? We won't say goodbye until the last minute. I hold out my hand, and you know my heart will be in it. For we know.
Yeah. Oh, God.
And that's God. Your singing sick. That's your singing sick.
Oh,
there,
man. Thank you, bro.
Hey, man, you know, for all you guys out there who say y'all singing, if you can't do that, it's time to go back. It's still another occupation. So I'm also
thank you, man.
That's a problem, man. That's a problem, man. We appreciate Danny Boy coming on the Talk Side show. New album in stores. Go get it on iTunes, not Free Tunes. It's about time. Go ahead and support him. You know the hit. You came with Pac. So no question. No man's got it, man. He's got two new joints out right now. We just got done playing them. All About You. So in Love, man. New Hot Records. Go back and listen to the show if you missed it. Or go to www.talkingtimes.com and check out the full interview with Danny Boy. And also go on the Facebook, Twitter, Danny Boy, Danny Stewart. All right,
yes, sir.
Add him and also go to Twitter, The Real Danny Boy. All right, don't type in the fake Danny Boy. You want the real, all
right? That's right.
anything that we didn't touch on that you would like to mention now, anything, shout-outs you want to give, anything right now?
I'd like to thank my team, Kim, Nephew, Parrish. I'd like to thank the Wide Awake team as well as Sasha. I want to thank you for taking the opportunity to for putting me on and letting me share my story. Thanks for everybody for listening. Keep me in your prayers, and if y'all will do me one big favor, keep my city, Chicago, in your prayers. We've been losing a lot of young people before it even hit the summer. So, you know, I'm sure the summer is going to be real hot, and I just pray to God just bless our city and keep them kids safe up there. And I just thank y'all again so much for looking out for your boy, Danny Boy. I am here. I'm still here, still singing, and I can't wait to explain my story. Look out for the book from Danny Boy coming for Death Row, My Life on Death Row Records. Y'all look out for that book. It's coming with a CD and some more unreleased material.
Definitely. I know when the book comes out, you have to come back on the show. And give
yes, sir, man. It's going to be nice, too. It's going to be grimy, buddy.
We'll say that for the uncut version of Talk Time.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We'll say that one for the after hours when we can show me get it in.
Yes, sir, man.
Definitely, I do want to tell everybody out there, especially if my daughter lives in Illinois, I'm totally aware of right now, the count is like 114. And if I need that number to go up, I need that number to go down.
Yes, sir.
Keep it in your prayers. They've already had to call out the They already had to call the team out. Somebody trying to say the
National Guard.
Yes, National Guard. Thank you.
Yeah, and I'm in support of them. Get out there.
Yeah.
Get out there.
There's theories out there. You may not think it's going on in your world, but trust me, it can happen in your neck of the woods. So definitely keep it in Chicago in your prayers, man. Danny Boy, already added to your Facebook.
Thank you, Brother T. Thank you for taking me, man, and you will hear from me on Facebook. Let's keep in touch.
We'll do, brother. Matter of fact, before you go, we throw what I call Red Carpet Saturday events here in the city. So you stay tuned, because I might be bringing you on out here, brother, as a special guest. Let you come on out and come and let you show how we do it out here in Indianapolis.
Man, will you please, man? I'm ready. I ain't been a nap in a minute. I'm ready.
When the last time you was there?
I think I did a show with Norman Connors maybe 2 years ago there.
Well, we're going to have to come
a jazz set, so let's get it going.
That's what's up, bro. We will be in touch, man. Thank you once again for coming. And when you get that book out, we're going to be in touch, so we'll get all that worked out.
Let's get it, bro.
All right. Take care, brother.
Be blessed.
You too, bro. Thanks.
Peace.
And that was Danny Boy, everybody, right here on the Talk with Todd show. You heard him live. Ladies, if you didn't get a chance to hear that man sing freestyle for you, definitely go back into this show, to this program. Download this to your iPods, the MP3 players, to your computer, to your CD, and you can check out Danny Boy live right here on the show. Coming up next, we've got some more hot interviews for you right here on the Talk with Todd show. Don't forget, join the mailing list on talkwithtodd.com. You can get all the latest updates on Talk with Todd show. Go get the promotions and Todd's running the thought. You can hit me up on Facebook at facebook.com/talkwithtodd and Twitter at talkwithtodd. All right. Thank y'all once again for listening to the Talk with Todd show. Appreciate all support. Appreciate the big homie Brent for calling in and getting that word in, man. That's what people need to do. Definitely, if you want to learn about this business, right time to call into the show. You have people here that can answer your questions. So we're looking on that. And like I tell everybody else, man, take care of one another out there. Love one another out there. Y'all have a good evening. Until next time, I'm going to talk with God. So, good night. God bless.